Okay.
Thank you, Rav Neuberger. But
okay. Good. So the Bein HaMetzorim, the period of time between Shavuos and Tammuz and Tisha B'Av, the 3 weeks, which begin with Shavuos and Tammuz next week, have various halachas which define them. One of the particulars of this year brings to mind a comment that Rav Moshe Feinstein made, which I saw many years ago. And that was that when it comes to the observance of the 3 weeks, so our children are home and they're very, very young, but in many, many years, many of our children are away. They're not at home. They're not in yeshivas. So Rav Moshe wrote that the summer camps, he was referring to the sleepaway camps, have a responsibility to teach the laws of the 3 weeks and to give the atmosphere of the 3 weeks and give the teachings of the 3 weeks. That the summer camps have to take that seriously because the yeshivas are not teaching that. And for so many years, children are not home. So this year is significantly different in that most of our children will be home. So it's an opportunity for families sort of to take this part of the chinuch back, so to speak, and to what would otherwise be a gap in the child's chinuch. So we have the opportunity to step up the plate and to provide and fill in this gap. How does one go about doing that? The 9 days, the 3 weeks, Tisha B'Av, Shavuos, and Tammuz are always very, very difficult times to communicate to our children. We don't, God forbid, want to traumatize them. We don't want to make them sad. And how do we connect them to a Churban bias that we feel very distant from? So it occurred to me that this year we do have a way of making the 3 weeks something which is more tangible. The idea of not being able to go to one's shul for so long. So certainly in the child's mind, there's this er anpin, there's a little bit of a mushel, a little bit of a model that we can, that the sadness that the child has, that their schedule is somewhat disturbed, that they can't go to shul, they can't see their friends in shul, that their routine is upset. So all of these things this year gives us an opportunity to give the idea some concretization. The fact that we're davening at home and not davening together in the shul itself, so that certainly in our minds communicates the idea that Yirmiyahu speaks about, that because Baruch Hu was upset with the way that we conducted ourselves in the Beis HaMikdash, and now's not the time to develop that theme, but it is the idea that going into the 3 weeks, this particular year, we have a greater ability to connect with some of the ideas of the 3 weeks and are able to communicate some of those ideas and make them ideas that our children can attach themselves to and grab onto. We should take that opportunity. And again, it won't be in a traumatic way because Baruch Hashem, they don't see their Baruch Hashem living through this right now. We're in a much better place and hopefully that will continue. In the summer camps, they often introduce the saying of Al Naros Bovel at meals during the 3 weeks, or during the 9 days. And that would be a very good practice. It's not a summer camp practice. It does come from the Arizal. It is recorded in a sefer that was written by the Chavos Yor, a sefer the Chavos Yor, in addition to his Shuvas. He also wrote a running commentary in parts of Shulchan Aruch. So the Chavos Yor discusses this is a good idea to say Al Naros Bovel. Now, we don't have that practice for numerous reasons, but one of them is that we very rarely wash in the bread, so we don't have this Birkas HaMazon situation other than Shabbos. So that, again, that's a practice that would be a good thing to somehow bring back to some extent, but to have some time set aside, ultimately the ideal of the 3 weeks is to have some time set aside, whether it's even 10 minutes a day, and whether one dedicates that to thinking about the Beis HaMikdash, to looking into the brachos of Shemoneh Esrei that relate to Geula, whether it's to have a Musar Seder for 10 minutes a day. The idea of the 3 weeks, all of the practices, all the huggas, are supposed to develop a certain atmosphere and a certain growth in an area that we otherwise don't think about. So that's the first thing that I wanted to bring to mind, this comment of Rav Moshe, that this year, the achrayus, the responsibility of reminding ourselves of the 3 weeks of reminding our children and of teaching our children, so that falls squarely upon us. And therefore, we should remind ourselves that when it comes to the 3 weeks, and not talking the 9 days or Tisha B'Av, but the 3 weeks, there are six practices that define the halachic aspect of the 3 weeks. One is that we don't get married in the 3 weeks. So that's something that really doesn't impact in our families and our children. There is the Easter of getting haircuts during the 3 weeks, and that we do practice. There is the general practice of, and we'll discuss this in great detail because this is very relevant, of the music, dancing and music. There is the practice of not saying Shechayanu. We don't go out of our way to do a Shechayanu. If a Shechayanu comes our way, then we would try to wait for Shabbos. If a Shechayanu comes during the 3 weeks, then we would almost always recite it. There is a practice of the Maharil, which some Svarim say we should adopt, and that is not to do work in the house if it's not functional work. Now, if it's the kind of thing that you have to fix, something's not a problem at all. But if it's there is a discussion. The most posts can say that this of putting in new carpeting and not doing a paint job, that was only during the 9 days. And some say we should refrain from during the 3 weeks, and it would probably be a case-by-case situation depending on what the upside and what the downside is of that. And then there is the question of whether we refrain from doing certain things because Reya Mazle, because it's not considered to be a good time. So the three different areas that address, that define the 3 weeks as opposed to the 9 days. And Tisha B'Av, what is the element of Avelos? Avelos means we don't get married. Avelos means that we don't have music, that we wouldn't dance during the 3 weeks. That's Avelos. That it's not, as we say, it's not a good time. It's not a mazel dikshah. So that we would say is why we would not get married during the 3 weeks, why it is preferable not to begin any major venture during the 3 weeks. Major venture, I mean new business, we would say not the best time. Again, if there's a certain hefset involved, it would be negotiable. Move to a new house, again, also something that is something that has to be discussed on a case-by-case basis. And the third issue would be engage in something that has greater danger. So the last idea of greater danger, that is something that it doesn't really apply to the 3 weeks in a common way. The 9 days, we do not engage in any practice that increases the level of danger over the course of our normal life, so to speak. Just like when a person is in Yud Beis Chodesh, so the practice is not to engage in any activity where there's an increased sakana. The same thing is true for the 9 days. A person would not go for elective surgery during the 9 days. Gemara says a person shouldn't enter into a court case with an Einar Yehudi, a court case with a Yehudi. Well, that's to figure out who is, I want to make sure that I don't have anybody else's money. And I want to make sure that when two people go to a Din Torah, so they should be going with the attitude, we don't have inappropriate funds. So that should be taken care of as soon as possible, that even during the 9 days. But when it's with an Einar Yehudi, so then there's a little bit of a different dynamic sometimes. Sometimes it's a dynamic that isn't always, we're concerned about it. So that's why that gives us the idea that the 9 days, there is, again, Reya Mazle, but Again, the idea of, and during the 3 weeks, we extend the idea of Reya Mazay to major, major ventures. We don't extend it to, so for example, a person has elective surgery, he would be allowed to have it between the 3 weeks. We wouldn't stop him. If a person wants to go on a flight, so I'm not thinking about specifically now in this particular situation, one might look at it differently, but 3 weeks would be, we wouldn't, 9 days we would say not so, but 3 weeks, yeah. A person is, in camps this comes up, if a person is being tested for their proficiency in a certain swimming or boating situation. That means that they are engaging in an activity which has a higher level of concern with safety as an issue. So that we would not do during the 9 days, but we would allow during the 3 weeks. The Shulchan Aruch does discuss something that we have a hard time understanding, and that is that one would not walk in lightly shaded areas during the 3 weeks, that a Rebbe who is disciplining a Talmud would not discipline a Talmud in the old-fashioned sense during the 3 weeks. But those issues are heavily more of a mystical rather than a mystical kind of sakana. And the Gemara says in general, when it comes to those kinds of sakana, so if they are widely accepted, if we accept them, so then we have to be concerned about them. And if they're not on our radar, then we need not worry about them. So again, when it comes to how do we shape our practices for the 3 weeks, we would say there are three areas. One is the Avelos area. The other is Reya Mazle. It's not a great time. That's why we don't get married. We don't say Shechayonu, because we can't say Shechayonu. It's not a good time. And the third is the issue of Sakana, which we very, very rarely consult Lemaisa. So Lemaisa is going to come down to two areas. One is the area of it's not being a good time, Reya Mazle. And the other is the area of Avelos, of having greater... some of the morning practices of the Yud Bez Chodesh. Sam, go ahead.
Do we apply any as far as doing things in a 3 week? The Doshu Bei Rabim, is that still a factor?
In other words, the Doshu Bei Rabim is a factor. So let's explain that a little bit better. Now, when it comes to Chazal tell us that a person is allowed to accept a greater risk if it's a risk called Doshu Bei Rabim, if people, generally speaking, do that. So is it mutter for me to go on a plane? The answer is yes, because Doshu Bei Rabim, because it's a widely accepted, a socially accepted risk that a person is allowed to take on. All right, can a person go swimming? The answer is yes. Can he go swimming in a place where there is an undercurrent, where there are rapids? No, because that's Lo Doshu Bei Rabim. So generally speaking, can I go for a certain kind of elective surgery? Well, it depends. Doshu Bei Rabim, if people go for that surgery, then it's permissible. If it's not a common thing, if it's a experimental surgery, then we would... then we would not do it because Le Doshu Bei Rabim. Now, when it comes to the 9 days, so if my practice is, during the 9 days, we probably would not do something that is more dangerous, even though it's permissible, right? So in the 9 days, I'm allowed to fly anytime during the year, all right, because Doshu Bei Rabim. But during the 9 days, since there is an additional risk involved, so I wouldn't fly during the 9 days, because I wouldn't, even though it's mutter, and if a person is in Yud Beis Chodesh in the 12th month, the same rule applies, that we walk back the Doshu Bei Rabim. But during the 3 weeks, we don't have to walk back the Doshu Bei Rabim. The one area that we were discussing, and that is the area of the sort of the mystical area. of the Rebbe who disciplines a child, or of the walking between the shade. So there, it's precisely because we take the approach of Doshu Rabbim. People are not worried about these things. People don't figure out when they can go in light shade. So therefore, it is mutter. And as long as that is a person's common practice, they doesn't worry about it, then it applies in the 3 weeks. So again, coming back to Sam's question, during the 3 weeks, we would apply the normal, the regular calculus of whether something is dangerous or not dangerous. And during the 9 days, we would walk that back and not engage in something which is more dangerous, even if it is even though it's permissible in Zoshul Be'Rabba.
Go back to davening in the house during the 9 days?
Would be, it depends on the, hopefully the numbers stay down. So then the medical panels are, believe that if we are 6 feet apart and wearing masks, so then we are okay. Okay, but if you, you're a doctor, if you find it otherwise, let us know. On the other hand, what it would be correct to say is that if a person is taking liberties and not wearing a mask, then during the 9 days, they shouldn't, I'm not sure if it's right at any time, but in the 9 days for sure they should walk back those liberties. If a person is not is taking liberties and not keeping social distancing, then during the 9 days, it would be, even though a person may say, well, Doshu Be'Rabim, people are not doing this anymore, it would be smart in the 9 days to walk that back a little bit. That would be correct. Again, how far the it's certainly something to consider, but I think it very much depends on the approach that the that our doctors are taking.
So you're kind of ignoring the fact that it's the 9 days? I mean, that's not factoring into being a little more stricter about our behavior, our shul behavior, our davening behavior?
It's not factoring at all? I would say, because I think that the, because again, it's, I would still take this back to the medical panel, but the understanding that I have is that if a person is 6 feet apart and wears a mask, then he's in a safe situation. The lack of safety is when people take liberties, when they, when they're not careful with the social distancing. And so that would be something that if a person is taking some liberties with the social distancing and with the mask, then it would be correct for them to not take those liberties during the 9 days. All right? So that would be, I think that'd be correct. Right. In other words, the understanding I have from the doctors that we consult is that if one observes the social distancing and if one wears the mask, so then that one is in a safe situation. If something in that situation, if one does not keep the rules in that situation, then that drops the, let's say if one person walks in without a mask, so then that person is dropping the, or is raising the level of risk. So the doctors think that ultimately people are going to be safe, but then you've, then during the 9 days, I would think that that's, I wouldn't allow it any time, but during the 9 days it would be, if people are taking liberties, they should, or for example, it would be a reasonable thing for a person to say that, person might say, I'm of a certain age and I feel comfortable that with a mask and with 6 feet apart, person might say, during the 9 days, maybe I would walk that back a little bit. That would be a reasonable thing to do. I wouldn't say it's mandated. I would think I have to think about that it'll be totally mandated during the 9 days that people should be extra scrupulous with the masks and with the 6 feet apart. I think that's very important. And that's a good idea that we shouldn't point that out.
It's like a personal decision, but towing that fine line, that's not a personal decision. It's a hashkafic / personal decision.
Well, it's a I think the halacha is well articulated, but it's at what point does a person's decision becomes imposed on the tzibur, right? That's the line we're talking about. So right. When a personal decision. So it's not right for the tzibur has the right to say you don't have the right to impose your personal decision on us as a tzibur. So we're davening as a tzibur, so you have to keep the rules of the tzibur, right? Now when you walk in the street, you don't wear a mask, so I can't. Then it becomes my achrayus to stay away from you, right? Right. But that I can't say that it's like that. I don't know if I can impose on a person, but when you're coming into a minyan, then we can say that at this point the tzibur has a certain level of care that we define for ourselves. I think that's where, but I think what the halachic articulation is clear. I think what's, in other words, the dosha, the chazal articulate that a level of danger that's permissible to accept is what's socially acceptable. I think it's hard to define what is called socially acceptable right now. I think that's where that is, and that, I think you're right, that there could be personal decisions that, in my mind, those personal decisions are what drive the Dosha Be'rabim. Dosha Be'rabim means that Allah is saying, you know, Tzibur, you can figure this out. That means that they're going to be different individuals pulling different directions until it comes to a certain equilibrium as to what is the, right, just like let's take after 9/11. So probably there are a lot of people who didn't fly. Okay, some did fly. All right. So probably at some point, when protocols were put into place, so really people were flying already. All right. So you're right that halacha does give a certain latitude. In order to, and even after all said and done, this we have to point out that a person has, it's within a person's rights to say, I want to be stricter than Dosha Be'rabim. Right? That's the example the Ritva gives. The Ritva gives the example that if the Tzibur accepts that this situation is a safe situation, have the bris on the eighth day, and the guy says, but I'm not comfortable. Now, if a guy wakes up in the morning and because he makes up his own cheshbonos, so then that's, but if a person says, no, these are ideas that are out there that people are talking about. So, and or there could be ideas that were accepted and people sort of flattened the curve, so to speak, and I'm not using it correctly, but people have sort of expressed it out, but I'm still holding 3 months ago. So the Ritva says that 100%, even to the extent of postponing it versus not having the eighth day. So that is, and certainly on issues of, Tefillah B'Tzibur, and certainly there's no question about that, right? So again, this is, when it comes to the 3 weeks, so there we do find in the Shulchan Aruch, the idea of certain kinds of dangers that we don't fully grasp, that Chazal wanted us to not engage in those dangers during the 3 weeks. Since we don't understand what those dangers are and are not worried about those dangers, so they're the more recent posts can say that they are no longer of concern during the 3 weeks. So that means, coming back to Sam and Sachi's question now, is that during the 3 weeks, we are allowed to follow the regular calculus on what's considered to be a sakana. During the 9 days, that's when we walk back and we say, if I'm only doing this because dosha be'rabim, so then maybe I should walk it back a little bit. So that's something that we will certainly focus in on again as it gets closer to Rosh Chodesh of. And watch how things develop. Let's discuss for a few minutes what is very much a part of our radar, and that is what's the deal with music during the 3 weeks, and try to define that a little bit better. The Easter of listening to music is very, very hard to find in Shulchan Aruch. I don't think you'll find Shulchan Aruch. You will find it in a Mishnah Berurah, when the Mishnah Berurah says that one should not dance during the 3 weeks and during the 9 days, really. So then the Mishnah Berurah says, and in addition, Klei Shir. So that's where that's the source, and not the source, but that's the record of the idea of however, it's very hard to understand what that how to define that din. So there are those who explain that anything which is associated with dancing is simchadik. During the 12 months, we abstain from things that are simchadik. We don't have parties during the 12 months. And similarly, during the 3 weeks, we also walk back. We also don't have things that are parties, that are simchadik. The Rav explained that this is the idea of simcha mereyas, that during the 12 months, one can't have parties. So the similarly, it's... Similarly, it's that during the 3 weeks, we wouldn't have parties, right? What I said before was incorrect. The Mishnah Berurah says, and therefore we don't dance during the 3 weeks. He does not say we don't have music, but apparently what has evolved is that both in the 12 months and during the 3 weeks, and during Sfira, what evolved over time is that people saw music as being simchadik, and therefore, since during the 12 months one doesn't go to parties, so one doesn't dance, so the approach evolves, well, we don't have music as well. And the same thing approach happening the 3 weeks and during Sfira. That's one approach as to how we got to this point that we don't listen to music during these three periods of time. There are another approaches, Rav Moshe's approach, and I believe Yosef had a similar approach, because this sounds like a very stretched thing, that because we don't dance, therefore no music. So they suggested that there is a Gemara that says that during the entire year, after Churban Beis HaMikdash, one should not have listened to music. And Tosfos says that means one shouldn't go to a pub, a bar, where there's people are drinking and having music. But to listen to music in the privacy of one's home, privacy of one's own car, to have music which is Shiras V'Sishmachos, the Rabbonu Shalom, that is permissible. So, and even though Shulchan Aruch does quote the Rambam, nevertheless, the Ramah and the later Poskim settled in on the sheet of Tosfos, and that's our common practice, that we listen to music, and we would only be careful not to have, again, a party with lots of music happening. Now, unless it's for a mitzvah. Now, Rav Moshe suggested that during the 3 weeks and during Sfira, and perhaps, he doesn't say this, during the 12 months, so that's when Klal Yisrael said, let's go back to the sheet of the Rambam. It certainly makes sense during the 3 weeks. Let's go back to the sheet of the Rambam. We haven't observed it the rest of the year, but in the 3 weeks, during the whole rest of the year, it's hard for us to function without music. 3 weeks we can manage. So we are putting into place the sheet of the Rambam, and that would make sense for the 3 weeks. Perhaps that might be how we come to the 12 months also abstaining from music. What would the difference be in terms of which way one looks at it? So, for example, the question comes up very frequently, whether it's in camps or in day camps or even in one's own home. Can one have music playing? So, our general approach is, our general meaning is no. What about a cappella music, where there's no music, it's all singing? Well, we're allowed to sing during the 3 weeks. During the 9 days, one avoids even singing, but during the 3 weeks, one can sing. One can sing with a few people. So it's, and certainly if the singing is or rare, is inspiring. So if Shechter points out, that being the case, there should not be any reservations with a cappella music. And that is, again, the practice that has adopted in many of the camps of our circles. And obviously, when Rav Shechter paskens something of this sort, so we are samech on him. It probably depends on how you understand the Easter of music. Once the a cappella music is not live singing, but is recorded, so does that change the a cappella music into some kind of instrument? That's a possibility. Or what really concerns me is that since the taped a cappella music is so good that many people see it as an end run, as a haroma, we're able to go around the din, which is not a good thing. So halacha lemasa, Rav Shechter said his mutter, and the iser of music during the 3 weeks, as we saw, is sort of a stretch, and the chances of a cappella music leading to any kind of, there are poskim who say that the only music which is usur is music that would support dancing and singing. But music which is slower and doesn't support dancing and singing, and much of the a cappella music doesn't support dancing, that would not be usur anyways. Mi tzad hadin. So certainly during, and that could be a difference between whether it is just an expression of simcha, or whether it has to do with the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Could be that since the a cappella music is so pretty, that one could say it is an expression of simcha. On the other hand, following Rav Moshe's approach, it isn't, would not be klishir. So generally speaking, I think there is room to be machmer because people often see it as an end run. But one doesn't have to seek out the chumra. And certainly during a year like this, where sometimes it can be very helpful in the kids around the house, sometimes it has a calming influence. So one should certainly not seek out a chumra in this particular case. And again, a cappella music, I would say, one should certainly find that to be permissible during the 3 weeks. There is every so often I quote an interesting exchange between Rav Yashim and one of his Talmidim, and that was when somebody asked Rav Yashim whether they can listen to music during the 3 weeks because otherwise they're afraid that they'll fall asleep while they're driving. So Rav Yashim said, if you're afraid that you're going to fall asleep while driving, it's also for you to drive. Right? So the fellow asked Rav Yashim, and understand the person shouldn't drive, but he has to get someplace. He has to get home. And he's afraid he'll fall asleep. So can he turn on the music during the 3 weeks? So Rav Yashim said, if a person's afraid he's going to fall asleep, it's also for him to drive. He can't drive. So then the fellow pushed him a third time. So Rav Yashim said, this doesn't understand the question. So that is an important mahalach that Rav Yashiv was teaching us. Well, so again, just
pulled over and let Rav Yashiv out of the car.
So what have we accomplished tonight? So we learned first of all, by the way, today was the yard site of Rav David Lifshitz, our living should be le'ilui nishmasai. It was Rav David Lifshitz was one of the great Talmidei Chachamim that came to these American shores, and he was a Rav in Europe still, and he's taught for many, many, many years at Yeshiva, and he was probably one of the first ones to introduce the Hanhagas of Hasidic Rebbeim into literature circles. In other words, he did have Mesibus in his house. He did. There was a very central part of the Mesibus on Purim in the yeshiva. He did have an appreciation for the importance that music and singing has in the generation after him. And again, he was one of the great Gaonim of the 20th century that impacted many of his Talmidim. So we learned tonight is that the 3 weeks are a little bit different this year, and that it once again becomes the turf of parents to teach our children. Number two is that the 3 weeks this year might be a little bit easier for us to help our children attach to it, because they've had this idea of having to leave the shul, having to be out of the Beis HaKnesses, and feeling that sense of distance. And that could help us relate it to our children. Ultimately, it's going to be our practices and how we explain our practices, so that we don't that we get our haircuts before the 3 weeks. Now that the barbers are open, so that again will be an easy hanhoga to maintain this year. People who are still zooming for business, so they can maybe able to also let go of shaving, which could also be in practice, and then communicate to our children that when we have other things on your mind, so then you withdraw a little bit from how we present ourselves. That is one of the aspects of Avelos, one of the aspects of the Yud Beis Chodesh that we adopt during the 3 weeks. And then we discussed the heightened concern of sakana is an issue more for the 9 days than for 3 weeks, and we discuss how that applies nowadays, and I will certainly revisit that and think it through very carefully as Rosh Chodesh of approaches. When it comes to the concern of music, so we explained the two routes to which we get to the practice of not having music. If it's based on nothing simchadic things, it would only preclude simchadic music that would lead to dancing. If it is music that is observing the Rambam's view of our approach post-Churban, which was not accepted by Klal Yisrael, and we now accept it for this period of time, then it would be any kind of music. We pointed out in Rav Shechter's approach that a cappella music is permissible during the 3 weeks. Again, it's something that I'm concerned about because people often see it as an end run. Nevertheless, certainly in a year like this, or if it helps a person to maintain certain balance, a certain mood in the home, so then it certainly is not a year to be machmer, but a year to go with the Shura Sedin. Okay, I think Rav Moshe Tzvi is up at 9:45. And thank everybody for joining in the shiur this evening, and watch your emails for as things develop as we go further.
Ah,
okay, thank you,
Rabbi.
Thank you very much.